is laid on your heart.
Thank you,
my brother.
I wore my tie, my American tie today, because I kind of feel patriotic. You don't feel patriotic watching TV. Can you imagine what people in other countries are thinking about what's going on in Washington right now? I don't think it'd be going on in Russia, China, or any place like that, although they're having some problems in Hong Kong. But we live in a country where even idiots could get up and talk. Don't look at me. And it's just something what this country is coming to. Let's pray real quick and get God here. And Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for salvation. And thank you so much for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me right now with your Holy Spirit. I pray your Holy Spirit have free reign for unction. And open our eyes and open our ears and soften our heart that your word may penetrate. In Jesus' name, amen. I was fasting the other day, more than a day. And let me go back a little bit. When I first got saved, I thought this, go to John 11. Calm down a little bit. John 11. When I first got saved and I read the story of Lazarus, I said, man, that's my story. Lazarus was dead for 4 days, but I was dead for 40 years. And God gave my life. God gave me life. He saved me. And for a long time I said, man, this is my story. And I love to read John 11. And I still love to read John 11. There's so many things that we could talk about and preach about in John 11. But I want to focus on one thing. I was fasting the other day, and God gave me this. It was my second day of fasting. And I said, Lord, give me something. And I opened up my Bible, and it was to this. I'm going to start reading. Everybody knows about about Lazarus, what John 11 is really talking about. He's talking about he was gone. Him and the disciples had left because the Jews wanted to kill him. So he left and went away. And when he left and went away, Lazarus got sick. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent him word, says, Lazarus, to whom you love, is sick. And so Jesus stuck around, told his disciples that Lazarus was sick, and said, you know what? To the glory of God, this is what's going to happen. And he waited, and he came back, and Lazarus had been 4 days dead. And Mary and Martha went to him. First Martha and then second Mary, and said, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus, in verse 38, he's going to go to the tomb. He's going to go find Lazarus. In verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, saith I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did believed on them. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. This is what God gave me the other day when I was fasting, and I said, give me something. He said, I heard you. I hear you. I broke my fast after that. When I got saved, like I said, I was 40 years old. And then a short while after I got saved, I came to the village. And they put me in charge of the men's program there. And I'd have people, and it's kind of strange. I saw this guy today, this morning. He came up to me and he said, "Pray for me. Pray for my family." And I'm thinking to myself, "You want me to pray for you? Why don't you pray for you?" But I prayed for him. And I think that he was kind of like the story of Martha. If you look back at the verse 22 of this chapter, it says, "But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Most people don't have a great prayer life. And most people don't really know if God's listening to them or not. Number one, if God's going to listen to you, you need to be saved. Because if you're not saved, He's not your Father. Second of all, you really need to have a relationship with Him. I've told y'all many times about me asking God what His favorite Elvis song was. And at church that day, He told me. Have you asked God something lately about Him? We all wake up and we all have this prayer list that we tell God, "This is what we want you to do for us." It's strange when somebody gets the news that they have cancer, you'd be amazed at how spiritual they get all of a sudden. When we had the church in Watkins, we had some people that was on their deathbed, and all of a sudden they show up and they want to talk about, "Oh, I want you to pray for me. Please pray for me. I have some bad news. The doctor said I've got cancer. The doctor says I don't have many days left." And you would be surprised how we pray for that person and they get well and you never see them again. One of them was on his deathbed and he started coming to church because one of our deacons went over and talked to him, prayed with him in a hospital. He started getting better. He started coming to church. He was doing great. And all of a sudden he got a bunch of money. And the next time I see him, he don't see him at church for a while. The next time I see him, he's walking out of a convenience store with a 12-pack of beer in his hand. You don't need God anymore. You've got it. And I tell you something, we need God every day of our lives, whether we know it or not. I was praying on the way over here, "Lord, I need you this morning. I need Him every morning. Without Him, I can't breathe. Without Him, I can't do anything." I want to read this one more time. And I want to go over some things. In verse 41 it says, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me." Do you know what? Jesus has already prayed about this before it happened. He's already prayed about this moment before He's at the tomb. In the next verse it says, "And I knew that Thou hearest me always." I know you hear me every time I talk to you. And it says, "But because of the people which stand by, I said it." I don't believe Jesus is over there talking to God and he's you know, the Bible says don't give vain repetition. Sometimes when I pray, it's all repetitious. I pray the same thing morning and evening. And God says, don't do vain repetition. Talk to me as a friend. You don't go up to your friend every time and say the same thing to him over and over again. You go to your friend and say, "Hey, what's going on today?" It says, "Because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me." I said it out loud for them, not to you. I've already prayed about this. I know you've given me the answer. I already know this. But I'm praying it out loud so they'll know who's fixing to raise Lazarus. And he calls Lazarus to come forth, and Lazarus comes out of the grave. You know, the disciples, asked Jesus, teach us to pray. You know the disciples were Jews? You know the disciples probably prayed their whole life. They've heard people pray their whole life. They probably prayed for all their life. You know, when they found Philip, he was underneath the tree. And they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus says, oh, hi, Philip, I know you. And he says, how do you know me? And he goes, well, when you was underneath that tree, I seen you. You know what Philip was doing underneath that tree? The Bible doesn't say, but I have a good idea that he's praying. Because when he said that, he said, oh, he bowed down and wanted to worship him. He said, you are the Christ. If you knew I was praying to you, you just answered my prayer. You see, the disciples knew how to pray. I believe this is what they were saying. Teach us to pray like you pray. Teach us to pray that when we pray, God answers our prayer. We want to be able to pray and the dead be raised. We want to be able to pray and demons flee out of people. We want to be able to pray and miracles happen right then and there. Teach us how to pray like you pray. That's what the disciples were saying, I believe. Do you believe when you pray? I didn't bring one of my devotions in today, but one of them was talking about a sea captain who was going from England to Canada, United States. And he was telling this story. He said, you know, last month I was coming on this same journey. And George Mueller was with me. And we was in thick, thick fog. We couldn't even see. And George Mueller came up to the wheelhouse and said, Captain, I must be in Quebec tomorrow morning. And he said, we can't do it. He said, let's go to your cabin and pray. So they went down to the captain's cabin and prayed. And they got on their knees and George Mueller prayed. And he got up and the captain was starting to say, and he patted him on the shoulder and said, don't pray. God's already answered my prayer. He said, first of all, you don't believe when you prayed, you wouldn't believe that the fog would be lifted. God has never failed me in my whole life. He said they walked out of that cabin and got up to the outside of the where they could see outside, and the fog had lifted. And George Mueller was in Quebec the next morning preaching. I think that if we really be truthful to ourselves, most of the time when we pray, we're just like that captain. God's not going to do this, but I'm going to ask him anyway. And I will tell you, God will not do that if that's your attitude. I can't tell you how many times I've been around people and they prayed for something and when they got up and said, you know, and they say exactly the opposite of what they just prayed. A couple of years ago, there was a mother and dad in Buffalo. Their child had been diagnosed with a deadly illness. And the mother was blogging every day. And it got notoriety, at least at the village it did, and everybody was praying for that little child. And pastor got up one time in chapel and he said, you know what? You know what makes me mad is Christians don't have any faith whatsoever. Not only has this woman got a great chance to show God can do miracles today, but every time she gets on that blog, she says, I know that just someday soon I'm going to have to take all his stuff down from his room because he won't be here anymore. And he said, that woman had just killed any prayer that God wanted to do for that boy because of her unbelief. If you're going to pray for someone with unbelief, don't pray. Because somebody with belief may be praying for that and it's going to happen. You see, the Bible says, if you have faith, and if you believe, all things can be unto you. And I will tell you that all of us have unbelief. But we have to believe that we're praying to a God that spoke this world into existence. And He can speak anything into our lives or anybody else's lives. He could raise the dead and He could turn this world into fire and remake it again. He could take Isaac and kill him, have his father kill him, and still bring up a nation from him. He could do anything if we just believe. I want to talk Psalm 77, verse 1. This is David. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. You know what David's saying right now? I didn't go around telling everybody I'm going to pray for this. He said, I got on my knees and I prayed to God, and God bent his ear and said, okay, David, I'll do it. Later on, David says, I'm a worm, and the God of this universe loves me and listens to me when I cry unto him. I love this one. I love it because it says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. That's Psalm 116:1. Can I tell you something? When I got saved and started praying to God and he started answering my prayers, I'm going, wow! This is awesome. God did something for me. It made you want to pray more. It made you want to really get closer to God. It made you want to start asking God, what do you think? What do you want me to do? And it really made you start praying for other people who were not saved. And I want to tell you how to get your prayers answered. Number one, you got to be saved. Number two, you have to abide. There's people at work that say they're Christians. They go to a Methodist church. And they drink, they smoke, they drug, they cuss, they do every abominable thing you can. But they're Christians. They think, one of them was talking to one of the Mennonites and says, we got Trump now. I want to tell you something. I don't know if Trump's saved or not, but he's done more for Christians than any of the five presidents put together, the last five presidents put together. He's said that Jerusalem's the capital. Jerusalem's the capital of Israel. Can I tell you something? Jimmy Carter, who says he's saved, says it's not. I want to know what Jimmy Carter saved from. I know what I'm saved from. I'm saved from the wrath of God. Most people, when you say, well, what are you saved from? Well, I'm saved from hell. You know what? I'm saved from the wrath of God. Did you know the wrath of God can be on you before you die? John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I'm so glad it doesn't say, if you tithe 50% of your earnings, and then you ask me what you will, you could have it done unto you. It doesn't say, if you go out and you be nice to everybody you meet, if you do this, it doesn't say that. It says, if you abide in me. You know, the disciples didn't want Jesus to go, and I don't blame them, man. If I was there, I wouldn't want him to go either. I really wouldn't. I'm more of a follower than I am a leader. And if I'm following somebody and he says, I'm fixed to go, you're in charge, I'm going to go, whoa. Wait a minute. No, let somebody else be in charge. I'm going to go with you. Kind of like Peter said, you know. But he said, if I don't go away, it's going to be harmful for you. But if I go away, it's going to be better for you. See, y'all won't be able to pray like I do until I go away. And pastors put this, preach this, but Jesus is just like us. He was flesh and he had the Spirit of God in him. You know, we're flesh, but we have the Spirit of God in us if we're saved. Yeah. I believe that one of the reasons we don't pray and get our prayers answered like Jesus did is we're not abiding. Number one, there's a lot of people out there that think they're saved or not. And number one, you have to be saved. And number two, you have to abide. I've told y'all about my Tiger Stripe Bentley. One of the things I wanted when I got saved is a Tiger Stripe Bentley. And there's hitting meaning in that. I had a little kitty one time a little scooter that I would go on, and when I was a little child, and it was tiger striped. It was my kitty, and so that's why I wanted the tiger striped Bentley. I growed up a little bit. You know, I haven't prayed about that tiger striped Bentley in probably 12 years. I've only been saved 13. I could care less about a tiger striped Bentley. I just want a Ford crew cab, four-wheel drive. But your wanters start changing. First of all, my wanter changed when I got saved. And the more I abided in Him, the more my prayers changed. You see, you'll start praying for things that He wants and not what you want. You'll start praying for people who are not saved. You'll start wondering about the person that's standing next to you at work more than the paycheck at the end of the day. We watched a couple of movies yesterday, and one of them was a Disney movie. What was that about? The Swiss Family Robinson. It was the first time I ever watched the movie. And at the end of it, they had a chance to get off the island and go back to the world. And they said, no, we're going to stay here. It's better here. The greatest thing you'll ever learn is when you don't have anything or anybody but Jesus. You understand you've got everything you need? You know, Elijah was taken to the brook Cherith. And Cherith means cutting. And when I got to cutting, when I got to the village, I learned what you could do without. It's really easy to serve God and say, hey, I love this thing, when you're making $1,400 a week, all expenses paid, and seeing the world, to not getting anything and staying in one place. And you'll find when you're in the will of God, you're the happiest person in the world, no matter what situation you're in. We're kind of like Peter when he's walking on the water to Jesus. We tend to more look around at our surroundings than we do looking up. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. First of all, you got to be saved. Second of all, you got to abide. Thirdly, you need to be obedient. You need to be obedient. Abraham was obedient. God told him, take thy son Isaac, thy only son. You see, in the back of Abraham's mind, he had two sons. And God said, take thy son, thy only son, and go sacrificing to me. In this stage of Abraham's life, he was obedient to what God said. The Bible doesn't say he murmured. The Bible doesn't say he said, peradventure, can I take my first son? He said, Isaac is your first son. He's your only son. Take that son up and sacrifice him to me. It doesn't say anything like that. It says Abraham took his son, took his servants, and they went up to the mountain. We know all of the story that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. And God says, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. I understand that you really trust me now. And because of this, I'm going to bless you. You see, we ain't blessed because we ain't obedient. We ain't doing what God wants us to do. We're not abiding in His words. And He abiding in us. The other day, I read that, and I broke my fast because of one other thing. God says, I hear you. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." When God says, "I hear you," I thought about that verse. There's no reason to fast anymore. God heard me. Now, God didn't say, "I hear you and I'm going to do it." God didn't say, "I hear you and I'm not going to do it." He says, "I hear you." Now, that's all I need to know. There's no sense in saying, "You know, I'm going to pray this prayer 15 more times. I'm going to pray it in the ears of a bunch of people." I don't need that. God says, "I hear you." David said, "I cried unto God. I cried unto God with my voice, and He heard me." The Bible says about David that this is God speaking. He's a man after my own heart. This ain't what David said or somebody who knew David. This is what God said. He's a man after my own heart. Look at the Psalms and look at David, what he's saying to God and what God's saying through him. He heard me. That's all I need to know. You see, I can't make him do what he don't want to do. But he heard what I said to him. I was, speaking of ties, when I got to the village, I had no dress clothes. Didn't have anything. And there was a dress code at the village. When you went to church, you wore dress clothes. So I said to myself one morning, "Lord," said to myself, "I need some dress shoes." I was getting ready to go do Devos that morning when I said that. I walked out the door and almost tripped over a box. I had a brand new pair of dress shoes. That's them. They're leather. Soled. High dollar. I love them. There's a couple people at the village that wanted them too. I had a pair of black shoes. I had a pair of black slacks. I had a black shirt and had a black tie. Doom, 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 doom. You know how many times I wore that? I wore it Wednesday and I wore it Sunday. I wore it Wednesday and I wore it Sunday. I said, "Lord, I would like a new tie. I would like some ties, Lord." You know, that was in 2007, 2008. The next day, ties didn't show up. The next month, ties didn't show up. You know how many ties I have now? I can't tell you how many ties I have now, but I have to have a choice of what tie I'm going to wear. God answers some of my prayers before we even pray them. Them shoes came just like that. That guy that asked me to pray for him that day, I saw him again today at Walmart. He's messed up. His family's messed up. Would to God he would have learned how to pray to God himself. Would to God he had abided. I remember meeting another guy that was second command in my hallway. We're in the pastor's office telling him about this guy. Saying, "If you do this, it's not right. He needs to wait a year." You see, he could cry to God all he wants to, but he's not abiding. He's not being obedient. So I don't think God's going to hear him. In Luke 18, it says, "And he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Paul would say we need to pray without ceasing. I don't think we should be repetitious. Although I'm repetitious. I don't think Jesus got up in the morning and went out on the mountain to pray away from the disciples and everything and prayed, "God, I'm going to say the same prayer I prayed to you yesterday morning." You see, his relationship with God was so close that he knew what God wanted him to do. We talked about a little bit about this last week, but did you know that when he went out and got away from the disciples and prayed, and the disciples came and said, "All men seek for you. Come on, let's go back to town." He said, "I got to go to other town now. I've already preached this town. I'm going to some more. Because that's what God wants me to do." We need to find out what God wants us to do. I'm with Pastor. I don't believe that we are ordained when we get born to do what God wants us to do, but I do believe this: when you get reborn, God has something for you to do. And if you'll read John 15, it says bear fruit. And this is what God wants each and every one of us to do: bear fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, what are you doing? I don't think you're abiding. I don't think you're being obedient. And I wonder why God ain't moving mountains for you. I love the Lord. Why? Because he saved me. He loved me first before I loved him. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and he answered my prayer. I was talking to another guy at work the other day, and he was talking about the first time he ever fasted. And it said it was the hardest thing he ever had done. He said everybody was bringing food around and stuff, and it was terrible. But he goes, "But he answered my prayers." And I believe the first time you start praying, God says, "You know what, I'm going to show him I'm alive." I believe the first time you fast, he said, "I'm going to answer that because I want you to start fasting more often. I want you to start praying more often to me. I'm going to show you some things. I'm God and I can do anything you ask me to do because I'm God. I want you to do something for me. I want you to abide in me. I want to come and make my abode with you. But I can't make my abode with you if you're not saved. And I can't answer your prayers if you're not abiding. And I can't answer your prayers if you're not obedient. And you need to do all these things. And you could ask what you will. And it will be done." When you pray, how do you pray? And we know that when the disciples asked him that, and he said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name.'" You know, all the Catholics were taught that prayer. Did you know it says, "Thy kingdom, thy will be done, thy kingdom come." And you know, if you're not saved and thy kingdom comes, you know what happens? You're lost forever. And all these Catholics and all these people have been praying a prayer that says, "Hey, come quickly, I want to go to hell. I don't like it when somebody says, 'Lord Jesus, come quickly.' I don't like that. I've got people that I still love that are not saved. And if he comes quickly and they're not saved, they will die and go to hell. I don't want Jesus to come quickly. But he's going to come one day. I've told y'all many times about my uncle that I tried to get to go to church with me, and he never would go. He lived here, and up on the hill was the church I was going to. But when times got bad, when he was on his deathbed, They went and got that pastor. And they went to my uncle's bedside. And he got right with God. Would to God he'd have got right with God a long time before then. Would to God I would have got right with God a long time before I did. But thank God he got right with God. You know what each and every one of us need to do, whether we're saved or unsaved? We need to get right with God. We need to get right so our prayers are answered. We need to stop saying words that we don't believe that he's going to answer. If you don't believe he's going to answer your prayer, do not pray. Because he won't. Your unbelief is why you can't cast out demons, is what he told his disciples. And this kind could come forth, but nothing but prayer and fasting. Did you know that God wants to hear and answer your prayers? And God does nothing but to answer the prayer. So what are we praying for? What are we really praying for? Because I think most of our prayers are just vain repetitions. And some of them, we don't believe he's going to answer anyway. I'm glad that this book tells us what's going to happen in the end. But in some ways, I wished it wouldn't have. Because I really believe that there's some pastors in this country that would love to see revival, but says in the last days there ain't going to be no revival, so we ain't going to pray for it. I also read in Ezekiel where it says, I looked for a man to stand up and stand in the gap, but I found none. Nobody prayed for this country. You know what? The Republicans aren't our answer. But I want to tell you something, the Democrats. What if they get in office in 2020? You might as well pack your bags. It's over. God says, you know what? I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. We have a window where we can still go out and preach the gospel. We have a window where we can still give out tracts. We have a window where we can still speak truth to people, yet we're not doing it. One of the things that I got out of storage the other day with my Elvis sign. And by the way, I wasn't too crazy about Elvis when he's alive. It's just after I got saved, I got a CD of Elvis singing gospel songs. And I was really, really enjoying that gospel song. How Great Thou Art.
Oh, Lord.
I got out my old prayer list from the village. Everybody that went through that hallway is on there. I got some people that, staff members that was at the village that I'm praying for. I really enjoyed that list. The first page is all my family and friends back home. I could cross some of those names out that they got saved already. I could cross some of those names out that they're dead already. I could cross some things out on them prayer lists that make me say, I love the Lord because he heard me when I cried. The first time he heard me cry is when I was in a pit and I couldn't get out of it. And I said, Lord, I need you. Please save me. And he reached down in that pit and he pulled me up and put my feet on solid rock. That song we just sang, Thank You, Lord, for giving me a home and a family. 2 years ago, a year ago, I couldn't say I had a home. I was a bum living with anybody and everybody that opened the door for me. God answers prayer. If we want our prayers answered, you got to be saved. You got to abide. You need to be obedient. I watched the show after I talked about the Warthog. I watched the show on Apache helicopters in the second Gulf War. And it was a raid at night, and they were supposed to go in there and take out some armor, and there was no armor there. But they didn't know it until they got there. And everybody in that town got out with their any gun and started shooting up in the air. The helicopters were flying 100 feet below, 100 feet or below. So the AK-47s were shooting them up pretty bad. And they was told, do not shoot unless you know what you're shooting at. So they wasn't returning too much fire with them people up there in pickup trucks on top of their houses shooting at them. And one of the pilots got shot in the neck. And the back gunner, he couldn't see him. He couldn't know what's going on. He was moaning and groaning. And he wasn't talking to him anymore. And they couldn't land out and away from the town because they were still getting shot at out there. So they had to go all the way back. And the things that they did trying to get this guy on the ground. And when they got back, they hadn't lost one helicopter. But you ought to have seen the pictures of them helicopters. They were just shredded. And they got that guy back, and he lived. And they all wrote, every one of those pilots wrote a letter to Boeing thanking them. In World War II, there were some soldiers on a beach. It was D-Day. And they was getting shot at by German fighters. They was scraping the beach, shooting at them. And every one of them started praying Psalm 91 out loud. Sand just ripping up all over them. Not one of those soldiers was killed that day. I don't know about you, but I want that kind of protection on my life every day. I want to be able to pray for something and God says, you know what, I hear you cry. I'm going to do it. Because you've been a faithful servant. That you are abiding in me. And I in you. How sad would it be to get to the great white throne of judgment, or the judgment seat of Christ, and say, hey, this is what I wanted for you. But you didn't want anything I wanted. You know all these prayers that you prayed right here? I was going to do that. But you wasn't obedient. I pray that we can be saved, abide, and obedient. So whatever we ask, God will do it. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your prayers that you've answered. I thank you for all the prayers that you've answered as we prayed on Wednesday night here. I thank you for all the prayers that you've answered for me when I was alone with you. Lord, most of all, I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for your long-suffering, Lord, that after 40 years of spitting in your face, when I cried, help me and save me, you was there. Thank you for that. Thank you for this church. And thank you for all these members of this church. Bless them, Lord, and their families. Hear their cry. Lord, we believe. I pray, Lord, that you would help our unbelief. That we could start moving mountains. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the rest of the day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand for invitation, blessings, and prayer. As we sing, as Christians pray, and let's go ahead and
pray about our prayer life. Praise the Lord after that message. Page 62 in our song. 562. Just as I am without one plea. Just as I am without one plea.